get ready for an hour of fishing, hunting, and outdoor events from all over the great state of Alabama. It's time for Alabama's Great Days Outdoors. Join Alan White and Joe Baia with Great Days Outdoors magazine and their special guests as they bring you the latest weekly updates from the woods and the water. Alabama's Great Days Outdoors is brought to you by Brooks Motors in Thomasville and Great Days Outdoors magazine. Now, here are Alan White and Joe Baia.
And good afternoon. Welcome into the show. Thank you for listening. I tell you what, if you're a hunter or a fisherman and you're not excited with this cool fall weather, then something ain't right. You need to take up a different hobby like planting petunias or something like that. What do you think, Joe? Let's give away something right now. We always give away something every week right here on the show. And the way you register for that is on our Facebook page at Great Days Outdoors. Facebook page. So what we got to give away this week?
So this week we've got Prospect Electronics. It's a compact stereo receiver. It'll fit in your UTV or in your boat. It really cuts down on the profile. It'll fit in like a standard tachometer hole. And the winner of that this week is Michael Gladden. So Michael, get with us on Facebook and we'll get information. And also, we're giving away this week a pair of Breakline polarized sunglasses. If you haven't heard of Breakline, they're an Alabama company, and they've got some really innovative products, some unbelievable warranties. So check them out on our Facebook page and make sure you get in the giveaway.
All right. It's always fun to give stuff away. Michael Gladner, congratulations on your win. We'll get with Michael and make sure he receives his gift. We've got a great show lined up for you. First up is Captain Wayne Miller with a report for your weekend angling adventures out on the Mobile Tensile Delta. How you doing, Wayne?
Doing great, Alan. How are you and John?
Man, we're just so excited about the cool weather and the prospects of fishing in a little bit more tolerable conditions and also getting out in the woods and doing some stuff.
I tell you what, man, it felt great out this morning. You know, it looks like we're going to really have some phenomenal weather here for the next week. And, you know, from the standpoint of the Delta, the fishing, you know, it's really things are getting better. You know, this time last week we had some pretty high water, you know, up north, and even the Mobile reading at Barry was up around 5 feet.
Yeah.
And the Mobile's back down below 3 now, so it's back down to what you normally expect this time of year. And it's cleaning up. It's really getting better every day.
You know,
I talked to a good friend of mine this morning that was down on the causeway, and he was catching fish down there. So, you know, the moving into the weekend, I think we're going to have just a great combination from the standpoint of the weather and the water for bass fishing on the Delta.
Last Saturday, I was at Hubbard's Landing in the Upper Delta, and it was quite muddy. And then I think the Monday morning, Labor Day, I think we went to the Middle Delta, and it was a whole different world, man. The water was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it just takes some time for it to clean up. And but, you know, the good thing is, you know, we got a real good tide cycle this weekend. We're coming off a full moon. We had a full moon Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the bite's been pretty good in the Middle Delta. Been catching a lot of fish on crankbaits, the shad and crawfish-colored bandits in, like, the 200 series out on the main river. And, of course, down south, you know, the plastic, you know, the soft plastic worms and lizards really continue to be probably the most prominent pattern down there to catch bass.
Right. Well, yeah, always good fishing around a full moon, and the tides coming off of that good tide is a really good opportunity. This weekend, with the weather like it is, ought to be a really good time to catch fish. The crankbaits are still producing, though, right, for the bass?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's really been good. And but like I say, you know, on up in the day, you know, really a lot of times, you know, you just have to slow down with that soft plastic. And but, you know, I've been doing pretty well with the June bug colored worm and just a solid blue worm, too.
Now, I know you fish some in the lower part of the Delta. Are you running into any redfish coming up yet?
Yeah, picking up a redfish every now and then. I mean, it's, you know, just about every trip out, especially if you spend quite a bit of time throwing that crankbait, seems like you're going to end up, you know, picking up a few redfish if you stay with that crankbait, not so much with the soft plastic. But, you know, still seeing some redfish, but, you know, it's not really, you know, firing good yet. And I'm not seeing a lot of shrimp, but I think, you know, really the, you know, that high water that we had and all that fresh water coming down the Delta kind of, you know, set that back. But, you know, hopefully here within another week or two, you know, we're going to start seeing that push of the shrimp up in the lower Delta.
Yeah, it's always a phenomenon that really turns the fishing on in the lower Delta and all the rivers off of Mobile Bay. When those redfish move up in there and the shrimp move up in the rivers, it's a surprise to what in the heck you're going to catch every cast.
Yeah, you don't ever know. It's crazy. It's usually a mixed bag, but man, what, you know, it's just a phenomenal fishery, and you know, it's a lot of fun fishing the Delta in the fall.
Definitely. All right, Wayne, you take care out there this weekend, buddy. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Bye bye.
All right, let's check in with Mike Thompson about the Upper Mobile Bay, the Causeway area, and around Fairhope and Daphne and all those rivers that go off the Mobile Bay that we just talked about, including the old Industrial Canal. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, Alan and Joe.
Well, tell us what's happening out there this weekend. Are the shrimp moving up into Fish River and the Fowl River?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that. You know, the bait shrimpers, they're struggling to get their shrimp, but they're loading their tanks up and trying to make sure that the fishermen have fish, shrimp for the weekend. And, I talked to some fellows that went frog gigging the other night, and they said they couldn't believe just how many shrimp were up in these bays above the causeway. He said white shrimp showering everywhere in the shallows, and that's always a good sign, especially for the fall fishing. And with that, you know, I got a report, and every year I'm always shocked that saltwater fish would move up into the river so soon, but they're actually catching a few small speckled trout up in Raft River, the Spanish River, and Grand Bay, where Grand Bay and the Raft River are. A lot of people don't realize that big giant bay, grassy-filled bay, is the perfect place for shrimp to be. And those shrimp will get out there in that grass, and they're real small shrimp, and the fish are up in there chasing them. So this is something that could go on and get better and better, especially with this cooler weather we're having.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I actually grew up on Fowl River, and, you know, I was always surprised at how early those fish would show up. It really just depends on the water quality. But I'm starting to see some flounder reports. Tell me, is there anything going on with flounder yet?
Yeah, Joe, you know, I got a couple of good reports today about flounder. Flounder is starting to show up in the mouth of Dog River and on the what we used to refer to as the Hoppy's Flats. There's not a lot of them, but there's enough to keep people after them. They're catching a few over on the causeway along the seawall. They're catching a few up in the Mobile River. Got a good report from some guys. Now, the report was bad, the total of the fish.
Now, wait a minute. You just said it was good. You can't have it both ways.
Well, one of the fish caught was a red snapper, a 12-inch red snapper in the Mobile River, caught on a grub as somebody was fishing for specks. So the water's salty. The fish just weren't very cooperative for this Labor Day angler. Down at Theodore, we talked about Theodore there. They're still catching white trout where Theodore Canal Channel meets the Mobile Bay Channel, and an area they call the T. There's a big marker out there. A lot of white trout on the bottom in about 20 feet of water. You can catch those on cut squid or cut mullet, and that's been pretty consistent. The triple tail, I know you like triple tail. The triple tail have been farther to the south where the water looks better, but the folks that are targeting them are really doing well on them when they get, you know, pretty good ways down there below Middle Bay Lighthouse.
I told you not to give that report.
It sneaks out, Joe. It sneaks out. But all in all, things are really looking good, and this cool weather got everybody excited. And it's, and I'll tell you who it's got excited for sure is these young guns that are going to be chasing these teal Saturday. Mm-hmm. I got a couple of good reports on teal showing up with this front. Not a lot, but packs of 50 to 75 in certain places. I won't name the places and cause any problems. So that looks good. And when that hurricane goes up the eastern seaboard there, at counterclockwise motion, it's going to have a wraparound effect and keep us with a north wind for several days, which could sweep down teal for our season, which begins Saturday.
Well, I tell you what, it's a true blessing that front came through when it did. And you're exactly right. I got a report from Skipper Theory this morning. He's out on the Gulf, and he said he saw that first line of teal coming down. And that's an exciting time of year as first crisp breezes come for fall.
It ought to make for some pretty sporty dove hunting this Saturday. I'm lucky enough to be invited on a hunt, and we're planning on going up for a good feed and hopefully a good dove shoot.
That's right. The North Zone comes in this Saturday at noon. And the South Zone is the following Saturday at noon. And by the way, if you want to go on a charity dove hunt, Alabama Hunger Relief, go to Facebook and look up Alabama Hunger Relief. You can find all the details there. They're having a hunt up at Canoe, Alabama, just outside of Atmore. And all you need to do is really read the instructions, email me your name and phone number, and we'll put you on the list, and we'll call everybody the day before the hunt to make sure you're coming and to make sure we still have birds there. All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, bud. And we'll take a break right now. We'll be back with more fishing reports for your weekend right after this.
I'm Harry Brooks here with Brooks Motors in Thomasville. There's nothing better than football Saturdays in the South, and at Brooks Motors, we're ready to help you score big this season with our wide selection of new and pre-owned vehicles from Chevy, Buick, and GMC. The rivalries can get intense sometimes. Who knew an elephant and a tiger would become such enemies in Alabama? All I ever see are deer and armadillos. But at Brooks, we're all on the same team. Whether you're popping the tailgate or cheering from the stadium, and whether you're a fan of crimson and white, orange and blue, or anything in between, our knowledgeable Brooks staff members are already on your team when it comes to help making your next vehicle purchase. We can't all be winners on the football field, just ask the elephant and the tiger, but remember, you're always a winner when you shop at Brooks. Visit us online at buyatbrooks.com. It's game time.
Dolphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dolphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available at this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dolphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure, whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains. You'll find it all at Dolphin Island Marina on Dolphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
Spend less on fertilizer and add calcium to your food plots at the same time. Liquid fertilizer with calcium is the answer. Calcium is vital to deer antler growth and eggshell strength in wild turkeys. And there's no waste when you use liquid fertilizer. Everything is absorbed by the plants. Rain won't wash it away, and it works fast. Alabama Liquid Fertilizer has so many advantages, we can't name them all here. Call today, 334-233-2687 to find out more. That's 334-233-2687.
Welcome back to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors with Alan White and Joe Byatt, brought to you by Brooks Motors in Thomasville and Great Days Outdoors Magazine. Once again, here are Joe and Alan.
And welcome back to the show. I'm Alan White along with Joe Byatt, and we were talking about dove hunting for a minute there. I hope this cold front brings a few of those northern birds down here. I like shooting those northern birds, Joe. They're bigger and fatter and more exciting. You know, one time we got around this particular silo, we found these ringneck doves, which is open season on ringneck doves year round. So we decided to hunt them, and it was August. So we called the game warden, make sure, you know, he knew we were going to be doing that. And he said, well, as long as you don't shoot a morning dove, you're fine. So we gathered around about four or five people, and we killed ringneck doves in the heat of August. It was unbelievable. These birds had gathered around, and hundreds of them, around this silo in this farmer's house. So
they're big old birds, too. I mean, they're about as big as a pigeon.
Yeah, they are. Nice to eat, too. Tastes really good. Bobby Abrascado knows a little bit about things that taste good, like speckled trout and redfish. How you doing, Bobby?
Yeah, afternoon, guys. How are you guys?
We're doing good. What's the report for this weekend, man, inshore fishing?
It's not going to change a whole lot of things until the water temperature really starts to drop, but you will start to see some fish get on the move. Mm-hmm. There's practically no shrimp down at the lower end of the bay. Even the guys that are good at catching them are having trouble catching them. But the good news with that is, to me, is you can key on, as far as bait goes, some other stuff that are a lot easier to see, things like mullet, pogies. And the last trips that I had over the weekend and the early part of this week, that's what we were around, was tons of rafting mullet, you know, smoking mullet, I call them, where they're up on the surface smoking. And, man, that really gives the fish away a little bit when they get into those mullet start getting, when they're on the surface like that, get spooky. And so a lot of times that'll give some fish away. And I caught a lot of fish in an area that I haven't even been fishing just by keying on that bait, you know. So that's one of the good things of not having a lot of shrimp around. But, you know, and the other thing is, too, when the shrimp starts to get a little bit more scarce like that, the fish are a lot more apt to hit artificial baits, and that'll continue all the way through the rest of the...
Mercy.
Bobby must not have paid his bill.
I guess not. Oh, well, we'll try him a little later maybe, or go ahead.
One of the things I think people ought to start thinking about is, you know, start thinking about bull reds on the bar. They're going to be, you know, doing their spawning. And if you've never seen when bull reds are spawning, it's an unbelievable sight. I mean, they froth the top of the water, and it just, you know, literally thousands of fish in a school, and it's an unbelievable thing. So if you're heading that way, that's another option for you.
Yeah, those when you get a big school rolling on top of the water like that and they're feeding, I think you could throw anything in there and they would hit it. Maybe a dirty sock or something like that. You know,
you can throw.
They're just feeding on everything that's not another big bull redfish.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the redfish is trying to, I think, I want to ask Bobby if the redfish are moving up into the rivers yet. And I think the water temperature is going to really determine that. You know, just because the air is cooler now doesn't mean the water's changed a bit. It takes weeks and weeks of cold weather to change that water temperature, because there's a lot of volume there.
Right. Yeah, a lot of times this time of year, you know, as a air temperature cools, people start thinking that it's you know, things are going into fall. But it's still summer, and they're still going to be doing a lot of the same things that they were doing earlier. It's just a lot more tolerable to be out there. And that's why I say it's my favorite time of year, because everybody else is thinking about football, or they're going to the camp to plant their fields, or whatever it is. But this is a great time to be on the water if you're a fisherman.
Yeah. And so even on the freshwater side of things, when the temperature starts dropping, in the water temperature I'm talking about, just things change, you know. Fish seem to get spurred into a feeding mode for wintertime, I guess, you know, trying to feed up for the winter. But just a lot of things start happening out there on the.
Well, you know, one part of that is when your water temperature is cool, the energy is being pulled out of the fish just to be in that water.
Right.
So they're losing a lot more calories in the form of heat. And so they have to feed, you know, they're forced to feed. So it's just like a deer. If you think about when, you know, the best deer hunting days are the days that it's really cold. Well, they've got to move. They've got to get up and eat to keep their body temp up. So same thing essentially with fish. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely one to it's a great time of year for sure.
And with teal season opening up, I mean, teal hunting is a fast and furious thing that happens first at daylight, and then it's over with pretty fast. So I'm looking forward to teal and dove season coming in and, you know, starting to do more wing shooting. Let's go to Joe Dunn and get a report from Miller's Ferry. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great, Alan.
Well, how's things going to be shaping up for our weekend at Miller's Ferry, buddy?
Oh, the water's great. Finally, we got the water where we need it. Just getting what I call that really summertime, early fall low. Got the fish all bunched up out on the ledges. Caught a good many crappie last week again. Got into some schooling bass too. A lot of small spots and largemouth schooling out on the ledges and points. So while you're out there vertical jigging a little bit on those ledges, you like to pick up a spot or a largemouth here and there too.
Well, that's always a challenge if you're crappie fishing with 6-pound test line and you get a 3-pound bass hit your minnow or your jig. That takes a little bit of skill to get that one end on.
Oh, yeah. I had a blast out there, like I said, this past weekend. There was a little hybrid. I got a few of those and some, like I said, those small spots. And they were stretching that little ultralight around.
What are the catfish the anglers doing? Are they still, you know, doing the jug fishing for cats or long lines or what?
Yeah, a lot of them still. I see a lot of guys still got those long line jugs out.
Mm-hmm.
And another method this time of year, because I like to do my jugging, you know, late in the afternoon or, you know, at night. But the I've seen a lot of guys too. You can anchor up right along that ledge, you know, and fish on the bottom, get you about 4 or 5 reels, you know, out the back of your boat and get your umbrella up, and that makes for a good afternoon too.
Yeah, fishing, rod and reel fishing for catfish is really popular on the Mobile Tensaw Delta among certain people too. They, you know, in the summertime, I think they target the deep holes, but the ledges right now is what's producing right now.
Oh yeah, because all them shad, you got a lot of shad working up and down those ledges when they come in. They're just sitting there waiting to ambush them when they come in, run into that ledge, kind of work their way up. And that's the same way with everything, really. Your crappie, your bass, they're all sitting out there doing, you know, the same thing right now.
And when the crappie at Miller's Ferry, when they're pulling water, and you can call a phone number to find out when that happens, the crappie tend to gather up around structure. But when they're not pulling water, they're sort of spread out. Am I right?
Exactly right. And when they go to pulling that water, that's when you want to be, you know, we always like to fish the treetops, but usually that's when they're going to be tightest up in the wood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, people think, you know, that's where they're at all the time. But
yeah,
it's really when they're pulling that water and they get in there tight, they're chasing the bait fish.
Get you a weedless jig and go right down in the middle of it, man. That's fun.
That's right.
All right, Joe, you have a great weekend, buddy.
All right, y'all too.
All right, let's move up the Alabama River to around the Jones Bluff area and talk to my good buddy Brooks Holland. How you doing, Brooks?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. How y'all doing?
Well, we're doing good. I know you've moved out from Lake Jordan into the river because the fishing's better right now. Tell us why that is.
I'll fish it during the week because the water moves practically all day on the river.
Mm-hmm.
It just tends when you have, you know, all the industry work, you know, working during the week, and all the businesses, they tend to generate power, so they've got to move that water. So
mm-hmm.
I'll stay on the river all day, you know, this time of year.
I got you. I see. Well, how's the bass fishing, first of all?
It's good. We're not catching, you know, the 4, 3, 4, and 5 pounders like we have been. It's hard to find them, but you know, the 1.5 pound, 2, 2.5 pound fish we've been catching, you know, 15-20 a day.
Mm-hmm. Well, the cooler weather, I hope the water temperature is going to start going down. If it stays cooler, you think the bass will be schooling soon?
They're actually schooling now. You'll catch them early in the morning, late in the afternoon. The shad population on the river this year is just abundant, so if you find a bunch of shad on top, you know, early in the morning, you'll find the white lakers and the bass, you know, blowing up on them.
Well, it's a little tough fishing for them right now, but what kind of lures are you throwing at them?
We're throwing deep crankbait that runs 10 to 15 foot, throwing swim bait, 4.5 inch, 5 inch swim bait, riding along the ledges and the deep sand where the water comes off deep sandbars. Fish tend to be hanging about 8, 10 to 12 foot, and sometimes, you know, later on in the day they'll get a little deeper, and we'll just let the swim bait drag on the bottom.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. I guess the crappie and catfish guys are still doing well up there?
Catfish and crappie are.
Okay.
Catfish, they've been hitting the ledges with live bait, doing real well.
Well, good deal. All right, buddy. You have a great weekend. Thanks for the report.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, and here we are back with David Thornton, the Pier Pounder. David, give us a report for what's going on down on the shore and the piers along the Gulf.
Well, the water in the Gulf has looked real nice this week, and looks like it's going to stay that way through the weekend, that all the tropical activity stays as far away from us as it is, and that lends to some really good fishing. The pier and beach both. I was on the beach earlier this week, and nice catches of good size whiting. The surf is just full of juvenile pompano right now. Real good crop there. Different places, there are speckled trout, redfish to be had. Lots of ladyfish up and down the beach, and other kinds of jacks, in the mix as well. The same kind of things from the pier with a few extras. You can get Spanish mackerel at the pier. The kings haven't been real good, and the tarpon have tapered off. But there's still, at times, good numbers of Spanish mackerel available, and speckled trout, lots of slot reds and rat reds around. Just a lot of different things to fish for.
Well, I noticed this week you caught, to me, a trophy pompano on 4-pound test, and you said you sight casted it, which I'm sure was a tremendous thrill. Now there's some talk, and I've always wondered if this is rumor or not, but do we get a reverse migration of pompano this time of year?
Not so much of a migration. I think the pompano move offshore to spawn during the summer, and they tend to disperse. The adults tend to disperse. These ones that are in the surf zone right now that are about the size of your hand or smaller are ones that actually were hatched back in April and May.
Wow.
when the spawning occurred. They're real fast growing, and the adults do start moving back inshore to feed. That particular fish was a good example, of a spawned out female. Being that long, that fish would have weighed, 3.5 pounds or more in the spring.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome.
they're a lot of fun on light tackle, that's for sure.
Cool. Well, David, thanks so much for the report this week, and good luck out there, okay?
Thanks a lot, Joe. Good to talk to y'all.
You too.
Hey, we've got Eva Shockey coming up next. Y'all stick around.
Great Days Outdoors magazine is Alabama's leader in hunting and fishing information. Each month, you'll see a variety of articles from small game to big game, hunting and fishing. They even have game and fish recipes each month. Learn the latest tactics for hunting and fishing. From polywogs to gator trout, they've covered your outdoors for almost 20 years, specializing in how-to articles written by the best Alabama writers. Whatever your game, include Great Days Outdoors in your strategy. Subscribe online at greatdaysoutdoors.com and visit them on Facebook.
Dolphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dolphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available at this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dolphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure, whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains. You'll find it all at Dolphin Island Marina on Dolphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
Spend less on fertilizer and add calcium to your food plots at the same time. Liquid fertilizer with calcium is the answer. Calcium is vital to deer antler growth and eggshell strength in wild turkeys. And there's no waste when you use liquid fertilizer. Everything is absorbed by the plants. Rain won't wash it away, and it works fast. Alabama Liquid Fertilizer has so many advantages, we can't name them all here. Call today, 334-233-2687 to find out more. That's 334-233-2687.
If you own a business in South Alabama and want to reach the outdoors market with advertising on Alabama's Great Days Outdoors radio show, call 800-597-6828. Our show reaches all over South Alabama, and your message will reach your targeted market. Radio ads can be combined with ads in Great Days Outdoors magazine and reach an even larger audience. Call 800-597-6828 to get all the details. That's 800-597-6828, or visit greatdaysoutdoors.com today.
Hey, this is Bruce Mitchell from Swamp People, and you're listening to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors.
And welcome back to the show. I'm Alan White, along with Joe Baia, and thanks for listening. We have Eva Shockey with us today. Eva grew up, under Jim Shockey in a hunting family. I mean, spent her days in Africa on big game for safaris or camping out in moose country, and Eva, welcome to the show. The last thing that you wanted to do when you were growing up is become a hunter. You wanted to be a dancer. So tell us what changed your mind.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for having me, first of all. And yes, that's exactly what I thought I was going to end up doing with my life. My mom was a ballerina, essentially, before I was born, and then throughout my life, she was a professional dancer. And I just saw her when I was growing up, and she was my female role model in my life, and I saw her as graceful and feminine and ladylike. And then I saw my dad, who was the complete opposite. It was rugged mountain man. And I figured I didn't have any female hunter role models in my life because my mom doesn't hunt herself. So I said, well, if I want to be classy and graceful like my mom, I probably shouldn't be a hunter because you can't do both. And that was something that I talk about. I just wrote a book. It's called Taking Aim. It just launched last week. And I talk about that throughout the book, saying I realized you don't have to choose one or the other. You can do both. I just didn't realize that when I was a young girl. So I started in the dancing field, and then I transitioned over in my early 20s into hunting, and now I haven't looked back then.
Well, you're certainly proving that you can be feminine and be a hunter and an outdoorsman all at the same time.
Your book is great.
It's just packed with personal stories and hunting adventures, and also what I found really interesting is, in your unique position, you've overcome a lot of, negativity out there.
Yeah, there's definitely some obstacles that I've had to push through and barriers I've had to break through. And that, the cool thing about those stories within my book, they are definitely meant to apply to hunters. I know a lot of hunters that I'm friends with that have had to deal with similar things. I'm sure there's a lot of hunters out there that have had to as well in their own lives. But those type of obstacles, I mean, no matter what you do with your life, no matter where you live in the world or who you are, there's always going to be obstacles ahead of you and people saying that you shouldn't be doing something because of X, Y, and Z reasons. And I think that's what the message of my book is. Whether it's in the hunting field specifically, it's encouraging people to break through those and be okay with the fact that you might not look like the average hunter, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be a hunter. There's no reason for that. But it also applies to just normal life, that if there's something you want to do and you want to set your mind to it, don't worry about what everyone else is saying and the negativity coming towards you.
Yeah, I think that's a great lesson. I mean, what's the worst thing in life is regret, you know? So it's it is an overall life lesson. But, you know, dealing with some of that negativity, pointing to something that's happened over the last couple of weeks, I think you've probably seen the PETA Facebook photo frame that went around and went viral. And, you know, some say that backfired for PETA, and others are saying it backfired for hunters. You know, I've got my opinions on it. I kind of don't think we should filter hunting for people, but I understand both points of view. Do you think, you know, it's important for people to speak up for hunting, and was that the right way to do it?
You know, I can't say I'm super, super on top of everything that happened. I did see it go through Facebook and Instagram and stuff with those PETA posts with the hunting pictures on them. I did not take part in it. I guess I don't think you should filter hunting in a way where you're ashamed of being a hunter, But I think in general, hunters and all of us that do it, we are responsible for representing who hunters are. And we're responsible that not everyone is okay with hunting. And I'm not saying that it's okay to hate hunting, because I don't think that's true either. But we're not hunters for the purpose of shocking people or getting people's face about it. We're hunters because we want to fill our freezer. We're hunters because we raise money for conservation. We're hunters because we love getting on the mountains and challenging ourselves or sitting in a tree stand and focusing for weeks on end to try to get that one animal to put in our freezer to eat ourselves and enjoy the protein from it. So in that way, that's the important part, and you have to represent us in a positive light. So I guess my own personal morals and ethics say that I'm not there to shock them. If people are offended by my posts that are classy and giving reverence to this animal that gave its life for me, then that's, you know, I can't do anything about that. But I try my very best to show respect to the animal, show respect to hunting as an activity in general, because we don't need to make it any harder on ourselves for people to be okay with it. But I think the best way is just to open up people's minds and eyes to what we do and talk about the good things, not try to shock them with the things that already are upsetting them.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, we got to understand that we're all ambassadors for the sport, and, you know, the contention was that for non-hunters, not people that were anti-hunting, just didn't hunt, you know, that what's the message to them? And I think you're hitting the, you know, exact right points, is that hunters are the original conservationists, and, you know, we're doing this to put meat in our freezers and to support the wildlife that's there. Without us, they wouldn't exist. So, you know, it's a great message.
And I think it's an important thing. I talk about this throughout the book as well, that I have a amazing, incredible platform to use my voice for that. And I think I could have gone either way. I mean, you can either use, well, I wouldn't have gone either way. I knew I was going to go the positive, good, inspiring type of message, but people could have gone either way with a platform like that. So I use it, and I try to be positive. I try to spread positive representation of what hunting is and hunters and who we are. And, I mean, that's just what we are, so it's not hard to do that. But I think even if you don't think you have a platform, even if you have two people on Facebook or if you live in a little town and no one seems to know you, being a hunter, you're always an ambassador to hunters. So you need to step up and represent us in a positive, great way all the time, because we know what we're doing is right. So don't go out of your way to try to make it look like it's more gory than it needs to be, or it's more aggressive than it needs to be. You know, we're just doing it to live a healthy lifestyle and live a positive lifestyle. So I think no matter where you are in the world and who's watching you, just always try to represent in a good way.
Well, Eva, I see that you're a new mother. Congratulations. My wife is expecting our first child, a little boy this January. So big congrats on that.
Thank you. You as well. That's very exciting.
Thank you. So, you know, do you think it's important, you know, having a young daughter, do you think it's important for women to hunt? And do you think that more women should hunt?
That actually, the reason why I started writing my book, which a lot of people keep asking why now and why I suddenly decided to, I actually found out I was pregnant with my daughter, and the week later, I started writing my book, because it was something that I've always wanted to do. I always thought I had I've had a somewhat unusual upbringing, a little bit more bizarre probably than the average person. And I've had a lot of lessons along the way that I made mistakes, other people have made mistakes, and I've learned from them. But it was something that writing a book seemed very scary to me. Writing a book seems very real and makes you vulnerable and makes having to share things that maybe I don't necessarily want to share. But I figured that the whole message of the book is to go out of your comfort zone. Something you've always wanted to do, just go for it and stop letting all the judgment or potential criticism get in the way of you doing something. And I thought, you know, I'm having a daughter. The next generation is going to be here before I know it. And I'd love for her, by the time she gets old enough to understand it, she has something to be able to pick up and have positive messages. And who knows who the role models will be when she's, you know, a teenager, 10, 11, 12 years old. But I know that the message that I'm trying to pass along about hunting and conservation and providing for yourself and family and all those amazing things that hunters represent, I would love for my daughter, her name is Lenny, to understand that and to have something to read. And again, for not only for her, but for the whole next generation, or for really anyone that wants a little bit of encouragement and inspiration to try to step out of their comfort zone and try something new.
A lot of people don't realize how much good hunters do for conservation and wildlife management. Hunters raise the most money for conservation and wildlife management than any other group on the planet. And without hunters, many of those animal populations would be dwindling. And getting back to what we were talking about earlier, the way I like to look at the situation is, let's say 10% of our population is anti-hunting. We can't do anything much about that. And then 10% of our population are hunters. And the other 80% are the people we really have to be concerned with. What are we going to do as hunters, as outdoorsmen, to influence those 80% of people who right now don't have an opinion one way or the other? Are we going to cause them to become anti-hunters by putting stuff up in your face or whatever, that kind of thing? Are we going to be good stewards and good ambassadors for hunting and help them develop, you know, truthful and encourage them to have a different view or a good view of hunters?
Yes, and that actually, that same scenario is what my dad raised me explaining, saying the same thing. 10% don't like it, 10% do like it, and 8% are in the middle. And I guess that comes back to the being a great ambassador for the hunting lifestyle. But that's, again, throughout my book, I wanted the book to appeal to people who, yes, if they're hunters, it'll appeal to them because they're stories. But if they're not hunters, they're interested in it, they can pick up the book, and I think they'll be more interested in the hunting lifestyle. Even if they think they don't like it and they go around telling everyone they hate hunting, if they pick up this book and they read some of those stats about how we are the biggest conservationists, how 100 years ago there were 500,000 whitetail left, and now in 2000, I think it was 14, they did a study and it was 32 million. So 500,000 to 32 million whitetails because of the conservation efforts that hunters did, that the money that hunters put out there for conservation and helping that population thrive. I mean, you just can't argue with those things. They just need to open their eyes. And I really believe that if they don't like hunting, it's just because they haven't had it explained to them properly. And it's kind of a, it just makes a lot of sense once you read and learn about those things.
Thank you so much for being on today. Your book is great and good luck in the future.
Thank you so much.
All right, Joe, let's take a break. We'll be back with another special guest right after this about a Hunter's Outdoor Scholarship Program. You're listening to Alabama's Great Days Outdoors.
Great Days Outdoors magazine is Alabama's leader in hunting and fishing information. Each month, you'll see a variety of articles from small game to big game, hunting and fishing. They even have game and fish recipes each month. Learn the latest tactics for hunting and fishing. From polywogs to gator trout, they've covered your outdoors for almost 20 years, specializing in how-to articles written by the best Alabama writers. Whatever your game, include Great Days Outdoors in your strategy. Subscribe online at greatdaysoutdoors.com and visit them on Facebook.
Dolphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dolphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available at this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dolphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure, whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains. You'll find it all at Dolphin Island Marina on Dolphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
This is Alabama's Great Days Outdoors, brought to you by Great Days Outdoors Magazine and Brooks Motors in Thomasville. Here are your hosts, Alan White and Joe Baia.
And welcome back to the show. Thank you for listening today. We've got the University of Montevallo right here in Alabama, and they have a new program called the President's Outdoor Scholars Program. We've got Mr. William Crawford with us today to talk about that and other things. How you doing, Mr. Crawford?
Good. How are y'all doing today?
Well, we're doing good, man. It's cooler weather. We're feeling kind of frisky and wanting to get outside and do something.
Absolutely. It's been beautiful weather for the September, and looking forward to the rest of the week and the weekend.
Just glad that hurricane's not coming through Alabama, man. I tell you
Absolutely.
What.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us about this program y'all have up there, and what's it all about?
Yeah, the President's Outdoor Scholars Program was an idea of our university president, Dr. John Stewart. He came to me with the idea of this program about 4 years ago, and the very first question he asked me was, what do high school students here in the South enjoy doing outside of athletics? And it took me about 2 seconds to answer that question, and it was hunting and fishing.
Yeah.
And he said, that's exactly what I feel, that students in the South really enjoy the outdoors. So why not let's develop a program that's that's designed to cater to the outdoors. So that was kind of where the vision and the idea of the program started. And it's kind of evolved in the first couple of years of the program, and it's geared towards keeping young people involved in the outdoors when they're off in college, and also educating them on career opportunities in the outdoor industry. There's so many young people nowadays that would love to have a career in the outdoors, and they just don't know how to go about doing it or where to look. And so we've developed this program, the only one in the nation, that is designed like this to help young people find that career path in the outdoors. So we're fortunate to have a program like this in the state of Alabama and here in the South, where so many, again, young people love to hunt and fish year-round.
You know, if that program would have been available when I was in college, I probably could have saved myself about 20 years of struggling around trying to find out what is it that I really want to do. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And you know, the key to our program, we kind of let students choose what their interests, what their likes are, and we take their passions and tie it into an area that they will enjoy and plug that into the outdoors. What many people don't realize, just about any major that our university has to offer can tie back and relate to the outdoors in some capacity. I know a lot of times people think just of your wildlife sciences, that's the only thing you can get a degree in to be in the outdoors. But you got to think, these outdoor companies, they run their business just like any other business. So you need business-minded folks that have a sense of the outdoors. You need people to do video content, especially in today's time when the industry is really pushing more towards the digital side of things. We have environmental studies that students can go into. Heck, even education. You're seeing more and more high schools in the state of Alabama offer some type of wildlife program within the high school curriculum. So we try to think outside the box and introduce our students to those kind of careers and see what may happen.
Well, there's certainly plenty of opportunities to get involved in the outdoor industry through journalism, too.
Exactly. We've had several outdoor writers, product researchers that have come and spoken to our group of students through the last couple of years. And that's another big component of our program is our guest speaker series. We bring in roughly 15 speakers a year to educate our students on what they do, how they got there, and how a young person can get involved. Mm-hmm. So we've been able to tie down some internships for some of our students and just exposing them to the industry, allowing them to network, because this industry is all about your connections and who you know.
Well, that's a fantastic program, and I wish that program was offered in more colleges around Alabama and all over the South, really, because there's a lot of opportunities there that people just don't know about. William, I sure appreciate you being on with us, and I hope this program just takes off like crazy.
All right. Well, thank you for letting us be a part.
All right. That's going to do it for this week, folks. We'll be back next week. Y'all be safe out there and have a great day outdoors.